Thanks so much for joining in today on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're switching our attention to cats. Cats, I have a couple of them, by the way, Tiger and Coco, and they have done a great job of getting me to think they're untrainable. But according to our guest, that's not true. And we're going to talk now about cats and trading them with our guest. Emily Ruiz is our guest for the rest of the show. She's the owner and operator of Great and Small Animal Behavior and Training. Emily works with cats and dogs in the Waukesha area. And if you have a question maybe about something your cat does and you can't figure out why, or maybe you have a question about how do I train my cat to do whatever, I hope you'll join in. Number to call is 800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can send an email to talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. Emily Ruiz, welcome. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
How'd you get interested in animal behavior and helping out pet owners?
Oh, man. I mean, I've always loved animals, but I took a course and I went to college at Lawrence University, and there was a pet-assisted therapy class. I was a psychology major, and we started to kind of dip our toe into pet training and training to become therapy animals, and it was all downhill from there.
So you were interested in psychology. I wonder, what has working with animals maybe taught you about life?
Oh, man. I mean, animals just make life brighter, in my personal opinion.
Sure.
Like, having pets has just gotten me through some of the toughest times. And being a psychology major, it taught me a lot about how people learn, how animals learn. And, you know, more often than not, I feel like I'm sort of like a therapist to people and their pets. Or don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm the person's therapist. Sometimes I feel like I'm the pet's therapist. And it's just, they make our lives brighter. But at the same time, you know, depending on what behavioral issues you're facing, they can cause a lot of stress where you forget why you got them in the first place. So that's why I'm here, to help remind us why and to help us all live in harmony.
Yeah. And you provided a broad range of services with Great and Small Animal Behavior and Training?
Yes. I am a certified professional dog trainer, and I'm also a cat behavior consultant. So I, you know, part of the reasons why I called my business Great and Small is that I will help all animals, great and small, whether you have a Great Dane or a kitten or a rat or, you know, whatever you have. I'm happy and excited to work with them.
Well, we're zeroing in on cats for the next 25
yes.
minutes or so. Let's go to Sharon in Fenimore, who has a question about a cat. Hi.
All right. Hi. My problem is my cat will be 2 years old in May, and he bites me. And it's only me. He doesn't bite my husband.
When does he do it, Sharon?
At any given time, I could be walking across the room and he'll jump up and try to bite my thigh, or I could be laying in bed and if my arms are exposed, he'll come up and bite me. If I'm sitting on the couch, the one thing I notice, to pay attention to him, he'll sit in front of me and his ears go back, and I know that's when he's going to attack.
Well, I got to say, I'm really impressed that you're able to anticipate when it's about to happen, because that's half the battle, is being able to read your cat's body language, because they communicate a lot to us. We just aren't always able to pick up on what they're saying. So those ears going back is a red flag of I'm about to pounce. So I'm glad you're able to pick up on that. And for a cat of 2 years old, we're still very much a kitten. We got a lot of kitten predator energy in us, where we like to pounce on things. We like to chase things. And is your cat an only cat, or do you have any other pets?
No, he's an only cat, and he's an indoor-outdoor cat.
Okay. Yeah, so that's actually pretty common, especially when you have a young cat who doesn't have any other litter mates or any other cats to play with. You then become their sole source of energy release and their sole playmate. So what I recommend in those situations is really amping up the playtime, and I actually recommend scheduled playtimes right before they eat, if you can manage it, because cats naturally hunt, especially, you know, an indoor-outdoor cat. They may be used to hunting down their food or hunting for playtime, but instead of hunting down preferably a toy or something like that, they see our hands move, our legs move, and, oh, something's moving, pounce. So if you ever notice those early warning signs, especially, quickly grab a wand toy and redirect that energy. And the good news is your cat is still young, so we haven't had too much time to practice this bad behavior. And you're able to teach instead, hey, I see you've got a lot of pent-up energy. Let's redirect it onto something more appropriate instead of onto my legs. And we can help burn that energy a bit more.
Yeah. Good luck with that, Sharon. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Well, Renee in Sauk City has a question as well. Let's go there. Hi, Renee.
Hi. My cat has been chewing the fur off her belly, and we're thinking it happened, started like about a year ago. We had an exchange student, but now she doesn't seem stressed at all, and I feel like she's just doing it out of habit. How can I get her to stop chewing the belly off her fur?
Belly.
Yeah, I have personal experience with that. I had a cat who used to be called that over-grooming, where most often than not, it starts where they're just licking and licking and licking, and then all of a sudden there's a bald patch, but sometimes they do bite and pull out that. And it sounds like it started around when you had an exchange student. Is that right? There was a change in the routine?
I think, yeah, there was a change. We had a new person. They couldn't mm-hmm. go in the bedroom they used to be able to go into, and I think that's why it started, but now she doesn't act like she's stressed at all.
Yeah, and I'm glad that you'd mentioned that detail, because this does happen a lot as a result of stress. My cat did it when we moved. It was very common for him. If there was a change in routine, he would start, you know, balding himself a little bit. And mm-hmm. Cats are notoriously talented at hiding their stress. So the best thing that you can do for him, well, first of all, I always, always, always recommend checking with your vet to make sure there isn't anything else going on, like a skin irritation, because no matter what you do behaviorally, you can't treat a skin infection behaviorally. But assuming everything is cleared medically, I recommend setting up a regular routine, and no matter what things change, you know, your cat will always know, I get my lap time at this time. I get my play time at this time. Just setting up something they can look forward to. But there are also some supplements that you can try. These are not medicines. These are homeopathic, won't hurt, might help type of things. That one of my favorites is Jackson Galaxy's flower essences. It's called Obsession Solution, and it's meant specifically to help your cat calm down and not show obsessive behaviors like that. That grooming, over-grooming is an obsessive compulsive behavior. You just put a drop on their back, you pet it in, and that in combination with setting up a routine and some normalcy should help lower that anxiety a bit and help them to cope a bit more with any change that may be going on.
And I'm betting somebody, there are more than one person saying, what was the name of that stuff again?
It's Jackson Galaxy's Obsession Solution. It's essentially like an essential oil, but specifically formulated for cats.
Now, this cat was chewing off the fur on her belly or licking it off. But you would put this material on her back, or would you put it on the belly?
It's an oil, so it's meant to, you put it on the back and then rub it or brush it in. Some people, you can also put it in their water, things like that. But
okay.
I don't trust that my cat is going to get as regular access to it as if I would have brushed it in. So it's not like a topical treatment. It's more like an essential oil for them to breathe in to help calm them down.
Renee, there you go. Thank you so much for calling. Carolyn in Lansing, Iowa, up next. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi. I have a cat. I found her about a year ago. I think she's about 3 months old. And she's very loving, very sweet. Anywhere I go, she's right with me. But she'll, especially in the mornings, she'll lay down next to me and she purrs and she's rubbing her head against my head, and all of a sudden she'll open her mouth and bite. It's not a vicious bite. It's like she's a loving bite, but she has broke skin, and she'll bite like the soft areas of my body, like my face or the inside of my arm, and
ouch.
Yeah. So, and I just love this kitty. She's just wonderful, except for that.
Yeah, that sounds painful. Yeah. I'm so sorry you're dealing with that. Yeah, that is something that I also do see a lot, where you're just loving on them and all of a sudden they just turn and bite. And sometimes, I just out of curiosity, does it happen pretty quickly or is it sort of a slow, I'm going to come bite you where this thing is warning? Okay.
I can sometimes hear her mouth open. Yeah.
Yeah. So there is actually, some people call this petting-induced aggression. More often than not, you see it a little faster, but it is not unheard of to have it be a slow bite. But especially when it's so hard that it draws skin, that's something we definitely want to curb as soon as possible for your safety and just in general. That's not very pleasant to deal with. So something that I recommend here is really, really, really watching body language and seeing if you can see there are certain really subtle signs that your cat may need a break, because while your cat may love being pet, they can have a very quick off switch, sort of like if you see someone being tickled and all of a sudden they're like, okay, now enough. You know, they look like they're having a great time and then very quickly they're done. So you want to look for little signs that they may need a break and keep petting in short bursts. So maybe you pet for a couple of seconds and then you pause, see if your cat leans in for more. But then meanwhile, while you are petting, look to see if you see some subtle body language signals, like I call them fur ripples, or, you know, if their fur kind of twitches a little bit, that's a sign that they're starting to get irritated. If the pupils get really dilated, if the ears start kind of swiveling, a big tell is if that tail starts thrashing. While, you know, we get excited when we see a dog wagging their tail, you do not want to see a cat thrashing their tail around. That tends to be a sign of, okay, I'm getting a little irritated. So look out for those things. Stop right before then and just keep it nice and short and sweet.
Carolyn, good luck, and thank you so much for calling. Emily Ruiz, our guest today, owner and operator of Great and Small Animal Behavior and Trading. She works with cats and dogs in the Waukesha area. I'm Larry Mueller for WPR News. Taking a look at your cat today, or cats, with our guest Emily Ruiz of Great and Small Animal Behavior and Trading. She works with cats and dogs in the Waukesha area, and we're zeroing in on cats. Cindy in Brooklyn has a question for you, Emily. Let's go there. Hi, Cindy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question. I have a feral cat that I've domesticated into indoor-outdoor house cat, and I don't know how to get her litter trained. She goes to the door like a dog to go out. You know, I brought a litter box in, and she just sniffed it, and she doesn't seem to have any idea what it's for.
Oh, gosh. About how old is the cat? Is it adult or a kitten? Or
about 3 or 4 years old already, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's tricky. When they start outside, they just become accustomed to going anywhere and everywhere they want to go. So there's a couple things you can do. That's great. That, do you say girl, she?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. That's great that she's going to the door like she wants to go outside. I mean, that's great that she's showing some kind of signal of, hey, I need to go to the bathroom. And if you are having her indoor, outdoor, and you have a place where she can safely go, then great, you can let her go outside. But if you want her to get used to using the litter box inside, I recommend putting in as many litter boxes as you're comfortable. Ideally, at least one litter box per level of your home. If you have multiple cats, the ideal number is one litter box per cat plus one. So if you have three cats, I recommend four litter boxes. And there are certain things, some people swear by them. I've kind of heard it go either way. Cat attracts things you can put in the litter. They should naturally know where to go, but cats can be particular where you may need to try and play with the litter level. So try having one litter box be a little bit deeper, one be a little more shallow. Typically an inch and a half a litter tends to be best. But then just like you would potty train a dog, anytime that she shows interest in the litter box, goes near the litter box, praise, you can give a treat. Let them know that that is what you're looking for. And I know this may sound a little gross, so I apologize. But if you do catch a spot where she does go to the bathroom, either she poos or she peeps somewhere, if you're able to move either a soaked paper towel with urine or some of the stool into the litter box, that'll be a really big help to, oh, that's where this goes. And then she should start using that box.
Yeah, that's a really good tip. I was thinking about getting a layer of sod and placing it in the litter box, but that might be a bit much.
I mean, one of the big things that can help is putting it near where they want to go. And, you know, when it comes to litter box things, I feel like there's rarely a bad idea. If it works, it works.
Okay. Cindy, good luck. Thank you very much for calling. Lynn in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Lynn.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm between cats, and I live in a town where they don't allow cats to roam free. And so that's part of why I'm reticent to get another one. I've had lots of cats over the years, and I just really like when they can be outside some. I think they're happier, and they're just nicer companions. That's been my experience. But I'm wondering if you have any ideas about whether it's possible to, or any experience of trying to territory train a cat, like the way you would with a dog in an invisible fence. We have a lot of deck area. And I fantasize about having a kitten that I could train to just stay on the decks or close to the house. So that's all.
Sure. That is always the dream, isn't it? Having a cat who will just kind of come and go as they please, that will stay safe and things like that. In my experience, I actually got my start working one-on-one with animals in various different humane societies. So I've just seen so many stray cats come and go that unfortunately, I do tend to lean more on the, you know, either keep them inside or have them outside in a safe, confined area, because just as you said, they do. They love being outside. It's a great place for them to sniff and get lots and lots of enrichment, and just they have a blast. So while I don't know of ways, unfortunately, to safely have them unconfined outside where you can guarantee that they'll be territorially trained to stay in your area, I do recommend for cats who really enjoy being outside. I have one cat who loves being outside and one that just absolutely hates it. but I picked up him up as a stray, so he may have a little PTSD there. But you can still let them have outside time and do it in a safe way, especially if there are laws in place where you're not allowed to have them be indoor-outdoor. Catios are wonderful. It's essentially just like a big pendant area where you can let your cat roam and be outside, but they're still confined. Or I harness trained my cat where I take him out on a harness, just like you would a dog. I've also trained my cat to go in a stroller, and we go on walks. and he gets lots and lots of outside time. But especially when you harness train, you can get as long of a leash as you want, but you know they're not going to run off. So there are some alternatives you can do to make sure your cat gets that outside time. Again, catios are some of my favorites, but that way you know you have that safety barrier of they're not going to run out into the street, or a coyote isn't going to come and run and pick them up, but they still get those wonderful benefits that you mentioned of being outside.
Yeah. Lynn, thank you and good luck. Appreciate your call. Yeah, there was I was reading of in the neighborhood, in one of the Madison neighborhoods, where the cat was taken by a coyote. That's not a good thing to have happen, for sure. A listener,
no, it gets scary.
A listener emailed us, why do cats lick each other rather lovingly before they go to battle and fight each other, especially at night before bed? And this kind of happens in my household, too, with the two cats I've got. They'll lick each other, and then pretty soon they're tearing through the house after each other.
Yeah, my cats, too. And that's, you know, typically if they're just grooming each other back and forth, that's a wonderful thing to see, where it can be very affectionate. It is a big source of bonding. And there is an important distinction to note if your cats then go into a fight, if it's like yowling, fur flying, where it's a dangerous situation, versus we're play fighting. If they're fighting, they're pouncing, they're chasing back and forth, that's different. That's still bonding. But if it does go into something more truly aggressive, or when it's getting picked on with each other, it's kind of similar, and there's still a lot of research to be done here. So who knows, down the road, I may be proven wrong on this, but my current understanding of it is that it is kind of like what we talked about earlier about petting-induced aggression, where they can just get a little overstimulated, they can get a little overwhelmed, where it's, okay, stop touching me now. Or one may be trying to groom and is having a great time, and the other one is done, and then it can escalate. The area of the brain where they're having a great time, the area of the brain where they're fighting are fairly close. Those two emotions are fairly close, so they can flip-flop pretty quickly.
Nancy and Nina emailed us. Nancy's cat begs and whines constantly for treats. And I'm just, as an aside, I bet she's feeding greenies as treats. She stands near the cabinet where her treats are, no matter where Nancy is in the house, and regardless of whether or not the food bowl is full. And I have a kind of a similar problem with Mr. Tiger at home, who loves his greenies.
Tiger is not alone. lots of cats. My cat Angus is just like that. It seems like he is just the bottomless pit. So first thing I recommend, you know, always make sure just at your annual vet visits that they're getting the proper nutrition that they need, because there are some cats who don't absorb all the nutrients they need. They need a little extra help to absorb those things. That is a bit rarer, though. But you also want to make sure that the food that you're feeding is high in protein and filling them up, and not just, I call it like the McDonald's of cat food, where you could just eat it all day. It's not going to completely fill you up, but you enjoy eating it. So make sure that your food is nutritionally well-balanced, but also it can be really helpful to have them work for their food. So I really enjoy having my cat Angus in particular play right before mealtime. So he goes through this little hunt sequence with his wand toy. He chases one toy, he's burning some energy, and then he can have a snack. So it's sort of like he's hunting down a bird outside in his mind, and then he gets to eat his quote-unquote kill. He gets to to enjoy the spoils of his hunt, and that tends to help to burn out their energy and to put that food to proper use, where then they naturally get tired, take a nap, and then they sleep for a good chunk of the day, and then it's mealtime again. So it helps use the energy a bit better, where it's not just, I'm sitting around and I'm hungry again. I mean, it's the same thing with people. If we're sitting around not burning the energy that we have, we might just am I hungry or am I bored? Am I hungry or am I thirsty? They can do the same thing.
What about just leaving food out for them all the time?
So one way, I know that is a really popular way of feeding cats. Unfortunately, it isn't the most helpful for them because, and I've fed my cats every which way you can think of over the years. I have done free feeding, just like you say, where you leave the food out, and my cat will still just sit by the bowl and wait for food, even though there's food in it. They want a little topper of fresh food. So what I recommend doing is, I feed my cats wet food twice a day. It's just the most biologically appropriate and the most filling for them. And it's how they get a good source of their hydration, which also helps keep them full longer. And then what I will do is I'll take dry food, and I'll put it in a puzzle feeder throughout the day. So in a way, I am leaving food out for them, but they have to work for it. They have to use their brains and bat kibble out of a puzzle toy, or I'll even just do an empty egg carton, and they have to figure out how to scoop the kibble out of the egg carton. So that way, they're still burning energy, they're still working for their food, and it lasts a lot longer, and it helps burn energy, and it does wonders for their mental health as well.
Dick in Oak Creek, do you have a quick question, Dick?
Yes, I do. Real quick, a second question, if you would, please. We have a cat who likes to lick paper money.
Why is that?
Likes to lick what?
Paper money.
Paper money.
He loves to do that.
That is a new one for me. I'm not going to lie. I will always tell you if something's new for me. I have not experienced that before, although I will say one of my cats, I love reading a good paperback book in my big comfy chair, and my cat will come up and just start rubbing on it and not quite licking on it, but I imagine it's a texture thing is my guess.
I think you're right on that. Emily, would you come back and be with us again? We didn't get into the training of tricks.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to. Anytime.
Emily Ruiz and her business, she's owner and operator of Great and Small Animal Behavior and Training. Works with cats and dogs in the Waukesha area. It's great. We'll get her back, and we'll do this again. Thanks for joining in today. Clara Neipert and Joel Patnott, our producers, our technical director, Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins, executive producer, Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller. Stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.